How are you guys anyway? You well?
We're good.
We're good. Busy.
Yeah.
Are you guys in the same place? Are you together there?
Yeah, we are together.
Yeah, we actually managed to be in the same place.
Awesome.
All vaccines. This
must be nice to be in the same place as other humans.
Well.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Depends who you're with, I guess.
Well, for us, like, Brian is one of the only people that comes over to my house this entire time. Yeah. So it's been kind of one of those, yeah, it's fine.
And Rick is one of the only places I go.
So. That's true, too, because you work from home.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's a bit like that sometimes. Yeah. Your bubble was like created anyway of if you only socialize with a small number of people, that's it. You've got your own bubble.
Yep,
pretty much.
How have you been in?
All right, yeah, okay, thanks. Been working pretty much the whole time. Some working from home, but a lot still at work. Yeah, been vaccinated up for a while now, so things are starting to get a little easier here in the UK. We've just come out of another lockdown. But we've got this Indian variant. I suspect you've got it there as well, haven't you? Which is causing a bit of worry. But seems all right. Seems okay. So hopefully world will get back to a bit more normal stuff. We can game with each other now, which is good.
Yeah.
That's incredibly good.
Yeah, really good.
We can officially go to other people's houses or to a store or something. And play games. Yep. As opposed to like sneaking in around the back like we may have done once or twice.
Yeah. It's been really, really great to see like the Mantic Open Day coming around and the events that they're getting put together for that has been really, really refreshing and exciting.
Yeah, I think the Open Day has been an interesting one, isn't it? Because they've got in some ways a lot more engagement with the online ones than the normal ones, because if you're not in the UK, you can't really engage much with the Open Days at all. And whilst some videos did go out, it was a bit sketchy sometimes. I think the online ones are really good. And you can watch them back later, of course, so if you're in a different time zone. You don't have to get up at the crack of dawn to watch it live. You can
3
watch
o'clock it a little later on.
Yeah, is that what it is? Is it 3 o'clock when it comes on?
On the first one that I ended up streaming it over on Twitch. Yeah, I was up and setting my stuff up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, what, painting along or something to it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
which, by the way, you know, thank you for staying up late to chat with us.
Hey, all right, that's no problem. I've actually just finished a Call of Cthulhu role-playing game online on Zoom. So I was sort of around anyway, so it's no problem.
Well, cool. So I don't know if you've listened to
our podcast lately.
I do listen to your podcast.
Oh,
with our super cold opens.
Yeah. So this is the part where I usually cut and say, welcome to Dead Zone the Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
And with us today is our guest, Dr. Firefight himself.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about that. I'm not calling you Dr. Deadzone ever again.
Fair enough.
Mostly because Firefight's your baby now, isn't it?
Apparently, yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Andy Sharp. And, yeah, Rob Berman gave me the Dr. Deadzone thing. And it's sort of stuck, I guess, because he keeps repeating it.
It's funny how those things work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Firefight, yeah, I guess Firefight is my baby, I guess, now. Firefight 2nd edition, anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, we're still not, we haven't quite given birth yet. We're, you know, we're we're in, yeah, we're going through labor. It's a tough ordeal, but we'll get there.
And is that pretty typical for the labor period to be about a year's long as the beta?
Hey, I'm sure for many people it can feel just as long.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But so like on that note, like how are things going? How's the feedback been from the community on the beta rule so far?
Yeah, so the Firefight Second Edition. Well, we were working on it for over a year in the alpha version because it's although we're calling it Firefight Second Edition, it's essentially a completely new game. Yeah. Or certainly such a major difference that it feels like a new game. And so that was been really good, but was quite challenging because of pandemics and stuff. And so a beta was the decision to go out for a beta. So we've been out now for about 2 months, just shy of 2 months now, in the beta, which has been good. You know, we've got lots of people who have engaged with it, lots of downloads of the original, but the first version of the rules that came out in beta. I think something like 1,500 downloads, which is great for a download. Yeah, it is. It's really good. Now, and then of that, we've encouraged people to join an open beta playtest group, and we've got about 150 people in there as well. Obviously, as with any playtest group, some are quite active and some are more sort of silent watchers and stuff. But it's been pretty good, and it's been good to see people come in with different ideas. Of course, and lots of people who were in that group weren't in the alpha testing, so for them, it's a brand new game coming at it with lots of things, which has been really refreshing. It's also created some challenges as well, because obviously there are many things that have been tried and put away during the alpha phase that,
sure,
you know, it'd be difficult to sort of talk about all of them without just being a whole list of things that just didn't work for us. But yeah, we've got a really dedicated group of people in the alpha testing, and we've got equally dedicated group in the beta testing. So it is going pretty well indeed.
So I remember, so a while back, that one of the last open days, I think, in person, when you did Dead Zone XL.
That's right. Yeah. So,
what I'm really curious about is, did you know that, or have a desire, or knew that this was going to be the outcome of doing Dead Zone XL?
Yeah. I guess yes and no. I mean, I...
Was it a nudge from Rob?
Not initially. So I had always wanted to play, you know, I think all of us have got hundreds of Dead Zone models, way more than you could play in Dead Zone. And, you know,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
As you stare at this collection of every Dead Zone model.
And so I really love Dead Zone, of course, and you try and play larger games, but actually it becomes it's not clunky, it's actually still really good, but it becomes a little more difficult to sort of set up. And I guess I always found I was defaulting to the standard setup to play Dead Zone rather than the two or three map games. You sort of have to make a proper effort to do a two map or three map game, I found. Mm-hmm. And so I was already trying different things to play maybe in a different way. So I had originally played a game of Dead Zone, which was sort of the very first iteration of Dead Zone XL, was Dead Zone without cubes, basically. So you took the cubes away and you just used a tape measure and pretty much did everything like that. And that actually worked quite well. But it didn't quite do everything right, because it was not designed in that way. It was just replacing one mechanic for another.
Sure.
And so then the idea of playing sort of larger games sort of started, and I started sort of having a few ideas about that. And I was talking about it a little bit with different people, because I had tried Firefight First Edition and it just didn't quite do what I wanted it to do. We even did some of our first videos on the Word of Fire YouTube channel are Firefight videos, our very first one, in fact. Myself, my friend Hal, we had a good time, but it just didn't quite do what we wanted. So it started off just playing around with stuff. And then it was Rob who came and spoke to me about it once. and sort of wondered if there was any opportunity to perhaps do something with it. So I went down to meet with Rob and Ronnie, and then chatted to Matt as well, so all the guys at Mantic. And the idea went round and round a little bit, and wasn't really sure if it was going to be a thing. And then it, and then they felt that yeah, it was worth a go. So that's sort of how it happened. It wasn't exactly it's sort of an evolving process of whether a game would happen. Sure. And that Dead Zone XL was, there was no commitment there to produce a Firefight version. That was still very much my ideas, not attached to Firefight or anything.
Yeah.
It was just like a show. The open day is quite good for having like show events and trying weird stuff out. So that's what it was. But in that day, I didn't stop. You know, we had people coming in, checking out what the game was. Ronnie came in a good few times, everyone talking and looking at the game, and all the people who played it had a great time. So I think that really helped sort of get the idea that actually we could do something different here. Whether to be a separate game or whether to replace Firefight wasn't clear at that point. But as time went on, it naturally went, okay, yeah, there's no point in having a fourth game in this world. Let's effectively just replace Firefight First Edition. So yeah, that's how it evolved, really, from ideas I had just playing around with stuff, and then obviously knowing the guys in Mantic, them sort of getting an idea that yeah, this could work, and then I guess some enthusiasm from people on seeing what the draft versions were, really.
Because it was really interesting to look at when you sent me Dead Zone XL. And then the whole Firefight thing started happening. It was interesting to see the evolution, I guess.
Yeah. And it definitely has evolved. It's been a really interesting process. Yeah. Because we definitely started off. I guess the whole premise really was, what does this game need to be? I mean, I think it's quite clear that Firefight First Edition didn't quite capture people's interests as it was hoped, and there's a whole number of reasons for that. Partly the way the game plays, which isn't bad. I'm sure that could have been fixed. There was issues with releasing of the models at the right time and stuff, being a Kickstarter and some delays because of that. And I think that the community that could have driven it forward sort of disappeared relatively quickly, unfortunately. And then there wasn't really a steady update of things either, so that the glitches weren't sort of ironed out in a prompt manner, and I think a lot of people, myself included, then ended up sort of stopped playing. So that was a problem. And where I sort of started from was, my view was that the Firefight community was small, and there was very little activity in any of the Facebook groups and things like that. You go on them and it would be, you know, the occasional YouTube video and the occasional I've painted this, but there wouldn't be much interaction there at all.
Yeah, for while there, it was mostly like Way to Fire, Family of Gamers, Dead Zone the podcast, and it was all stuff more directed at Dead Zone that was on those Facebook groups versus actual Firefight.
Yeah, they were really stagnant for ages. And so the only one of those groups in this sort of world really that's vibrant was Dead Zone, which still had a growing community. You know, the Facebook group's got about 3,000 people on it now. It had about 2.5, you know, a year ago. So it's not, you know, it's no 40K, but it's growing steadily still. And so the idea was, well, we have to build on it. We can't create a new community from scratch. You know, there's no Kickstarter here. So let's look at building on the community that we already have, who play in this same world with these miniatures, and may, like us, might just want to play upscale a bit. And so that's where it started. You know, let's start from Dead Zone and work our way up, rather than start from Warpath and work our way down, which was the original thought with Firefight. So yeah, start with what you know, and that then leads on to sort of what kind of mechanistic sort of elements you want to keep and what you don't want to keep. So what's cool about Dead Zone, D8s, of course, the way that commands work and stuff like that. So those are things we tried to keep. And there were some other things we really wanted to keep, but we couldn't. So exploding eights would be one of the obvious ones that was in there for a long time. But it just got really, really weird when you had sort of units firing 10 dice and then eights explode. And you're like, wow, this is getting a bit, you know. And we tried a couple of ways of trying to say, well, only certain dice explode. And, so, and then you start, well, I'm just creating more rules to make one thing work. So it ended up falling away, unfortunately. But it makes it a more streamlined game because of that. So yeah, it's like trying to keep as much as you can so that the game should hopefully still feel like a source of game of Dead Zone for those who play Dead Zone, should also still feel like a game of Firefight for those who come from Firefight. But of course it's neither of them really. It's a completely new game.
Yeah, it really is. Like I've had a chance to play against myself.
Yep.
And finding that it's been a while since I played 40K as well. So like that scale of game has been something I like even historically have not been good at. just playing with friends at high school is definitely one thing, but like I remember, you know, my first game against like an opponent, I just got wiped. And so like playing Firefight, I think I kind of ran into the same thing where it's like, okay, I've got, you know, these buildings set up and just this big empty space in the middle. I'm like, let's run at each other. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. So you definitely have to come at it from a different gaming mindset, which is not a bad thing at all. It is makes it very much its own thing.
Yeah, I think that was part of the idea, was to obviously make it have a familiar feeling but still a unique game. Mm-hmm. Because you can't really, you know, you can't just play Dead Zone on a 6x4 with just put a cube mat down and stuff like that. It just won't work. So it was to try and give as many aspects of that, but also make it feel bigger and different. Mm-hmm. It's interesting you say about 40K, because I've never really played 40K, but obviously it's a natural feeling to think it's a similar style game because of the size and the units and all that sort of stuff. But if I'm honest, it probably has more similarity, obviously, with Dead Zone, but actually probably more similarity with sort of historical games like Bolt Action or something like that, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because...
Which is not a bad thing.
No, not at all. No, not at all. Because one of the sort of interesting things about the Warpath universe compared to, say, 40K or something like that, is there's no one particularly heroic in Warpath, you know.
Yeah, not
in
really.
The world. Except
for the Revs, which leads me to
the Council of Seven is incredibly heroic. What are you talking about?
Of course the Revs. There's no sort of patriarchs and all this sort of stuff, these great big demons or monsters, stuff like that. It's, you know, these are normal sort of humanoid creatures, aren't they?
Yeah.
Doing their own thing. So that sort of suited the way that sort of designed it, with the orders being almost more important than the troops. The troops are in many ways quite vanilla. Yeah, they have different weaponry and stuff like that, different abilities, but the game really works, and units really do more when you make the orders work. Mm-hmm, so yeah. I guess that's similar to Dead Zone and similar to Vanguard, another game I was involved in, where it's your command dice that really make your army and your units do. They get you the 100% sort of, or 110% from your units. Mm-hmm. And using those interactions, because they're a resource, you've got another sort of tactical thing to think about. So, okay, I'll use these command, you know, limited number of command dice for these actions. But actually, now my opponent's done that, so now I have to adjust. And my plan I had before is now screwed, because actually that unit now can't do that, or this unit needs to do something else now. And I really like that resource allocation within a game, mm-hmm. to make sure that you're always thinking about what you do. And you get that in Dead Zone as well, where... Yeah. you know, I was going to use that command shoot dice to take out this guy, but oh, now that other target's there. I mean, oh, that one looks so much better.
Oh, wait, I'm playing against Marauders. I need to use my shoot dice first.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, before he steals them, the swine.
Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine, out.
So, speaking of Marauders, and I'm totally stealing this from Brian. So, you're going to shut down all the Reb sympathy, right?
What Reb sympathy? There's no Reb sympathy.
Now, I do remember playing you at Adepticon, and it was Rebs versus Rebs.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to slum it sometimes, haven't you?
I love it.
So, and on a similar note, I know it's been the burning question that always comes up. When are Rebs going to show up in Firefight?
Never!
Oh, well, yeah, I've never heard that, to be honest. I don't know, it's a funny one, isn't it, Rebs? I think Rebs, so as you said, the scale of Firefight isn't huge, actually. I mean,
yeah,
you're probably, I mean, it was designed to be for that if you bought one of the mega armies,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is, they're about £100, what's that, about $130, that would give you everything you would need to play and plenty of options. So, but you're probably talking about, what, 60 models probably, and then a tank or a flyer or something. It's sort of that scale, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it isn't designed to be, you know, like 40K Armageddon or something. It's not designed to be huge. So Rebs would fit in that, I think.
I think Rebs would fit in that far more than they would in, like, Warpath.
Yeah.
Warpath is
yeah.
way too big
yeah,
for
yeah, I agree.
Because they're completely disorganized.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I think they would fit. I guess the problem for Rebs is more actually production, in the fact that
right.
virtually all of their models are PVC.
Yeah.
So if you look at the armies that have been released so far, they all have a hard plastic sprue for their core troops, sort of with the exception of the Asterians, but they do have the marionettes. So you can see that there is a production stroke business decision that Mantic have had to make there. And that's, you know, that's why we haven't got Marauders. We haven't got Rebs. Now, of course, that might change in the future. Mm-hmm. But at present, it's focusing on the sort of six core factions that have scalable sort of armies really already made.
Right.
So that's your Forge Fathers, your Enforcers, Plague, GCPS, Asterians, and I've said them all over.
Yeah.
So I hope that we'll see others going, but you know, it's like even things like Nameless, you know, a relatively new faction for Dead Zone. Every single model in that is PVC or resin. So it's sort of hard to some extent to make decent, the way that the models are made, to make decent units in a sensible production way. So I think there'd have to be some planning for some of these armies as to whether they can actually make it into a big scale. And of course, some don't have vehicles as well, you know, or specific vehicles. So.
Sure.
Right.
Which is obviously a cool thing and a key point of having a larger war game.
Mm-hmm. That was always the thing, like, I was kind of looking for it at that bigger scale, whether it was going to be Dead Zone at some kind of bigger scale or, you know, Firefighter Warpath was, hey, we've got these really cool looking vehicles, really want to use them in something apart from just terrain that spruces up the board.
Yeah.
Because the vehicles look really good. I've been a big fan of them. I don't have many of them yet just because I've... but yeah, I like to get a lot of my stuff from my local game shop and whatnot.
Yep.
So in order through them, but yeah, I've always been excited for the vehicle side of combat. Obviously, Striders are a huge draw for me.
You are a big fan of Striders, aren't you, Brian?
Yes, he is.
I am. I have a particular love for the big robot.
Well, yeah, it's good. That's exactly what I wanted to do with the game as well, is to get the vehicles on the table, and obviously,
yeah,
and the Striders as well. And so the way they play actually is intentionally that a lot, not all the vehicles, obviously things like Forge Father tanks are strong, but some of the other vehicles are actually quite a bit weaker than you might think at first sort of view. So some of the flyers, for instance, and stuff like that are weaker than they. Than you might think they should be, but that's intentional to reflect that being shot at as a flyer is not a great experience over a war zone. they don't really like it.
I can't imagine they would. And also,
it allows, if they're cheaper and less strong from that point of view, it allows you to put them on a table more often. If you've got some unit that's going to cost you a quarter of your army, then it's actually not going to hit the table very often. So
yeah,
there's a balance there as to getting cool stuff on the table that does something useful, but isn't so strong that you therefore don't ever take it because you want to use more troops to get the objectives or whatever it is. So I've intentionally tried to make a lot of the vehicles, particularly those that carry troops, really quite cheap, but maybe they don't stick around quite so well, or they don't score for some objectives in the game, for instance. They can't do something because they're vehicles rather than troops. But hopefully you'll now be able to run two or three mules in a list and stuff like that if you want to. And the same for Striders. They're actually relatively cheap and not quite as strong as they might be in Dead Zone. But again, that allows you to take two, three of them if you want to without breaking the bank.
Which is fun to field though that many.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it really was fun to play an all mech game.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go quite that far. That seems nuts.
Oh, we did.
we did it actually.
Yeah, we rolled it pretty simple. Like we both picked a faction with a splat, and that's what the splat was. And one of our mechs was our leader, and we just played regular Dead Zone.
Yeah,
and it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I had a distinct terrain advantage, which we didn't really
think about that.
Think about while we put it together.
So speaking of Dead Zone and Firefight, so we talked a little bit, of course, when you were over here for AdeptCon 2 years ago.
Forever ago. Yeah, 2 years. It seems like an age away.
It does.
Right. Yeah.
So. Both Dead Zone and Firefight, and even into Warpath, what do you think is your favorite faction?
Okay to say the Rebs.
It's totally not okay to say the Rebs.
Earlier comment.
Well, I was gonna say Rebs, and then I thought my true favorite faction is clearly the Marauders.
Yeah, see,
that's not true. Okay, easy mode.
I love the Marauders.
I guess my favorite faction, actually my favorite faction did used to be the Rebs, but then I was playing a lot with a guy who also had Rebs, so then I naturally switched over, particularly as a lot of the games I play, I'm often play testing stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess my favorite faction has to be the Veermen, the Space Rats.
Space Rats.
Yeah, because they're cool models. They're cool. Got some cool stuff. And I guess for me, it was how I got into being involved in gaming in something more than just a hobby, really. Because it was how I actually started, even before joining a rules committee, I started to try and look at improving the Veermen, because in the core second edition book, they aren't very good. So
that's a really quiet way of saying they sucked.
they did suck pretty badly. I started off making some changes, and that was sort of then got noticed, and that's how I ended up being part of the rules committee for Dead Zone. So that was my sort of first inroad in. So they have a sort of special place in my heart for that. But I do really love them as well. I love playing them. And it stems for a lot of reasons. One of the other reasons I love playing them is when I run tournaments, I often end up having to be the ringer. So if we're short of a player, you get to play. And the beauty of the Veerman is that you play a game out really, really quick, one way or the other. You've either won or you've lost. But it's like 20 minutes and I'm done. Right, great. Whereas if you're playing GCPS or someone, it's like, well, I'm in for the full 50 minutes here of playing right. this.
Every minute counts with GCPS. Yeah.
True that.
Yeah, so yeah, Space Rats. Space Rats is the future.
All right.
Space Rats from the future.
Hey everybody, John Jack here from Dreadball Commercials. You've seen me, you love me, you know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
But to kind of couple on that, do you have a favorite unit in particular? Either, you know, it doesn't have to be in your favorite faction, but just a unit in particular?
You know, like the Tunnel Runner?
That's a really good question, actually. I think you're probably right. It probably is the Tunnel Runner. I think that's just such an iconic, like, rodent vehicle. It's amazing. I mean, I do have 5 Tunnel Runners.
Wow.
So this is slightly obsessive. I've run 3 in Dead Zone. I did manage to run 3 in one game. It wasn't the best list I've ever made, but it was fun. Tunnel Run is probably is one of my favorites, to be honest. I'm a big fan of the Territon Shock Trooper as well. I really like that model.
I do too. I really like that one.
Yeah. So I think those are probably my main ones. But there's lots of models I really do like and lots of ways they play every day. There's a few I really hate as well, but but all
you're welcome to vent on the show.
No, you're all right. I think it's which ones do I hate? I think there's just some where the sculpts are maybe not quite as exciting as some of the other models. And I don't think there's any models I dislike from the point of view of how they play now, because we've done so much over the last few years to
you guys really have.
To
like,
change
kind
them
of
up.
Amazing,
so
actually.
They're almost, you know, with escalation, some units are almost unrecognizable to the second edition book, which is creates a new issue, of course, for people when they're trying to get into the game. But yeah, look, I think Dead Zone is a really great place, and I think there's really good things sort of hopefully coming down the line for it as well, tying in with Firefire, of course. It's going to be great to see that. And I think for those who play a lot, it's great to see that Mantic are actually supporting this hobby for a while, because I think for a few years there wasn't that much support for the sci-fi aspects. And then with Outbreak and an escalation, I think that proves that there was a real, you know, both those books sold out. There was a real sort of proof then that actually, yeah, people do love this game and do want to play this game. And that's been recognized by them. And I think that's a key part of why Firefight is being redone at all, if I'm honest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been like, I jumped on board pretty much shortly after second edition came out.
Yep.
And like I remember seeing the beta list for Veerman to bump them up, and so it really has been a fun road to just see the evolution of this game and this Warpath universe. We've done a lot with the working with like the writing competition,
yep,
and stuff like that. Reviewed a lot of the books that have come out. And it's just been great to see such a creative space continuing to grow. And you know, like you're saying, the support Mantic has been providing especially lately, has been phenomenal. And I think people have really responded to it in a great way.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good time at the moment. I think there were a good few years where it was a bit of a wilderness, really. There was some good stuff from Rob and Jack obviously sort of flying the flag with your predecessors on the cast, and Tyler and Coach producing videos and stuff. But there was very little sort of really sort of moving the game forwards. But the last couple of years have been really good for that. I think it's proven to Mantic themselves, I think, that this game is really good and really well loved. And like I said at the beginning, the Facebook group has been growing and stuff like that. And we see more and more people coming in now and saying, oh, okay, what do I need to get started? And I think that, yeah, there's great things coming. There really are.
Absolutely.
No spoilers though.
Ah, dang it. So, well, you know, it's sometimes it's tough to have these kind of conversations because, well, rules committee and playtesters, there's a rules committee guy here and two playtesters is like, no, we can't ask that.
Yeah.
We can't ask that.
I posted something the other day on a hobby chat somewhere, and I was within like a nanosecond of posting the wrong thing and saying the wrong thing. I was like, damn it, that's not even out there yet.
You know, I think next time you come to the States, or if we make our way across the pond at some point, I think it would be a blast if we have our respective podcasts duke it out in some kind of battle. Whether that be Dead Zone the podcast and Warpath.exe versus Weight of Fire and whoever else you want to bring. I know you got a couple of guys.
Problem. It's not even a competition, guys. I'm sorry. It's not even a competition.
Well, yeah, because you guys are going to bring the Rebs and we'll beat you.
Vimin all the way, mate. Vimin all the way. That would be amazing. I mean, I hope at some point I'll get back over for an Adepticon again or something like that when this business all settles down.
Well,
But yeah, I mean, it would be great. It'd be great just to have games, to be honest, and events and things like that. Mm-hmm. They're starting to come back, but it'd be really good. And certainly from a Firefight playtesting point of view, it's really important because we did do a lot of playtesting during the first UK lockdown, which most countries are also having various degrees of lockdowns or restrictions on social activity. So we did a lot of the original playtesting over Universal Battle, which people use for Kings of War. So it's if you don't know what it is, it's a sort of a top-down HTML-style online game system. But it isn't quite the same as putting miniatures on the table, and so you don't get quite the same bird's-eye view and stuff like that.
No, it's not.
Well, you get a bird's-eye view. You don't get a model's-eye view. So that was interesting and really important because otherwise the game would never have got anywhere. But it obviously meant that the pool of people you're talking with is smaller. It's not as wide open because people can't see the game in the same way. And the way terrain works and stuff like that is a bit more sort of hard to visualize when you're not putting things on the table. So we've got an actual face-to-face playtest day coming up in July in Mantic HQ in Nottingham in the UK. And
which is awesome.
Which is going to be great. We've already got about 12 people signed up for it already. So it'll be really good to sort of, you know, have a couple of games, maybe one in the morning, one in the afternoon, where we try some things. And then we actually make some changes right there and then and try it out again and see if things are different in the next one. Because the game is pretty much solid in my view. It's really now the tweaking. Most of the conversations about tweaking at points, or are certain things a bit too strong, list building tweaks and stuff like that. So it's not about this rule's broken. It's more how do we make units feel and do what we think they should. And of course that's a bit tricky as well, because there's preconceptions from some people. If you've come from Dead Zone, you've got certain view on how things work. If you've come from Firefight, you may have a different view on how things work. And if you come from a completely different game, you may think, well, this great big monster must do this. But actually, it doesn't necessarily, because that isn't necessarily what it's meant to do.
So, I had one of those thoughts when I was looking at tag rifles. I'm like, why do they have this?
Yeah, exactly. And I think another thing as well that I've tried to do, which if you look through the rules document, and certainly if you know Kings of War or Vanguard, you'll see that there's a lot of rules, not so much rules, but keywords or abilities there that using a lot of similar terminology across different Mantic games, because I play most Mantic games, and I think the ones that work best are the ones that feel that they're in the same world or in the same sort of style. So, like I say, keeping D8s, but also using terminology for certain things, which is similar in Kings of War. So you feel more comfortable about how you're reading it, and you sort of like, you don't have to keep going, okay, well, what is that? Because you could make a rule, a name for a rule that's just different to be different. But if it does the same thing, then why not choose the same one? Because then people know instantly what it is if they play other games in the same sort of style.
Exactly. There's that consistency really can go a long way to make people like willing to try things. Like if you're coming from Vanguard or Kings of War, you know, looking at the rules, it's like, oh, okay, so this is going to be just like, you know, Crushing Strength or, yep. Piercing.
Or your nerve.
Or nerve testing and stuff like that. So, I think that goes a long way. People might, you know, initially kind of have that pushback where it's like, no, this is our, you know, a thing has to be kind of...
This is ours, leave it alone.
And shiny and whatnot. But it's like, you know, it's... The more people that feel welcome trying out a new game, I think it's, you know, that really speaks to the quality of the piece. So
yeah, and that was a really important consideration, in that my view was that if you redo a game that, like I said before, hasn't necessarily had the traction that you would want to, you've got to be quite careful to make it succeed. And there's no guarantee it's going to do that, of course. There's plenty of other competition out there for other games and so on. So trying to make that barrier to entry as low as possible by not having the game too big scale, having mechanics and elements that feel familiar. I guess that there are still some barriers, of course. You know, if you're not coming from Dead Zone, then playing with D8s will seem a bit weird because you're not used to it. Yeah. But if you are coming from Dead Zone, then it feels very, very natural. And certainly, you know, I don't think that this game, no matter how well people think it plays, is going to sort of, it's not going to replace 40K on the market or anything like that. That would never be the design. It would be a strange design to feel that you could do something like that, such a large IP. But what it certainly can do is make Dead Zone players play differently in a different game system, bring other players from other game systems that are out there in the science fiction universe, and there's plenty of those sort of smaller games, things like Infinity and stuff like that, where upscaling to a different game, you could see people come across to try something different. And that's certainly the market, I think, that there seems are like potentially almost, receptive people.
Seems like it's almost that sweet spot between our love for skirmish games and the larger 40K style.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, playing it on a 4x4, it's designed to be played on either a 6x4 or a 4x4. I think most of my games really have been on a 4x4, which is, again, just a little bit easier to get for some people in their house and stuff like that. You know, if you're playing on a kitchen table or something, then it's just a bit easier. But having said that, it can scale up to, you know, bigger sizes than the playtests are currently suggesting. And on a bigger scale. So, you know, it's got that option. Like any game, it will clunk up eventually if you go too large, because that always happens. But, yeah, I think you can get a good game on 4x4 or 6x4, really, with this game system.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation, Andrew. Was there, I know we're very conscious, like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, you're up pretty late, so, and we definitely appreciate that. Was there anything else you kind of wanted to mention while we have you on the show?
No, not really. Just give the rules a look and try them out if you can get a game. So the Firefight beta is going to be a fairly long one for a number of reasons. One of the main reasons is because we just appreciate it's difficult for people to play at present. So we may not even have had a beta, I think, if we hadn't had the pandemic. It may have come straight out, but we just haven't been able to play as much as we would have wanted. So a longer period of beta is great. And it also allows us to start working on more secret things as well. So once we're happy that people are happy with the public stuff, then the secret stuff can be tweaked as well. So, yeah, watch this space.
And sadly, we cannot speak of any of the secret stuff.
Nope.
Well, thank you so much for thank you so much for being on the podcast, Andrew.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for letting me come on and talk about Firefight and Dead Zone. It's been great.
And everything in between.
Everything in between.
Yeah. Fantastic. Right. Thanks very much, guys.
Yep. Yeah.
Have a great night, Andrew. Thank you again.
Yep. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye.